Greetings and welcome to Love and Justice. I'm Kyle Olson. This is a podcast about my friend, Ashley Love. On October 6, 2009, an intruder broke into Ashley's family home, walked upstairs to her bedroom, and killed 19-year-old Ashley while she laid in her own bed. No suspects have been arrested, and no justice has been served. More than 12 years have passed since she was killed, and this case is still cold. You might have a lot of questions swirling through your head right now. How did this happen? How has the killer not yet been caught? On this podcast, we will be taking a deep dive into the life of Ashley Love by talking to those that knew her best. We will hear from Ashley's parents, siblings, best friends, colleagues, classmates, and more. Together, we will paint a portrait of who Ashley was and share the full story, digging up all of the theories that we can possibly find in this case and consider why such violent acts like this continue to remain unsolved. But before we can do any of that, we have to take a step back and set the table, so to speak. A criminal case isn't simply one act. It's a complete story. So let's start at the very beginning. This is Love and Justice. Did you have that one best friend growing up? That friend you could do anything with, who would always say yes to your crazy and goofy ideas? For me, that friend was Anthony Love. Anthony and I met on a student ambassador trip to Australia when we were just 12 years old. I remember when we landed in Sydney, we grabbed our bags and we went to the hotel where we settled in. We were two kids from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, who, by luck of the draw, got paired in a room together on the other side of the world. I asked Anthony if he wanted to take a walk around the city, and he agreed. For the rest of that trip, we were inseparable. We threw boomerangs together, we cuddled koalas together, and we even went snorkeling in the Great Barrier Reef together. We came back from that trip to Australia eager to stay in touch and see each other often, which was sometimes tricky since Anthony lived on the opposite side of Milwaukee from me. But for the next few years, I spent more time at Anthony's house than I did my own. Anthony had two younger siblings, Ashley and Alex, and they were just as fun to be around as Anthony. Alex was in kindergarten when I first met him. He loved sports and was super passionate about baseball. Ashley was Anthony's only sister and was just 2 years younger than us. She had a laugh that was so contagious. Anthony's parents, Tammy and Joe, were the type of parents who were involved, but not to a fault. Anthony and I would go out back and explore the creek without his parents being too concerned, but they did make sure that we were back at the house before dark. Every time I stayed at the Loves, you could bet that we were going to have Arby's for lunch, and maybe even for dinner. You see, Arby's was a family affair. The Loves are a blue-collar, working-class family, and the whole family worked at Arby's. Joe and Tammy had both worked at Arby's for decades, with Joe serving as the regional manager for a number of Arby's restaurants in the Milwaukee area. When Anthony was old enough to get his first job, he too joined the Curly Fry Club. Ashley would begin a career at Arby's soon after, and years later, yes, so would Alex. Even to this day, I just can't help but think of the Loves every time I see an Arby's. Growing up in Milwaukee, I never laughed as much as I did when I was with the Loves. Every time I was with them, we found ourselves playing charades, going bowling, and spending countless hours at karaoke singing Garth Brooks songs. And after the music died down, we spent warm summer nights making s'mores around the bonfire in their backyard until the last embers went out. When I look back to my best memories growing up, so many of them are at this house with this family on this quiet tree-lined street in North Milwaukee. This picture-perfect childhood was not the norm for everyone, but the Love House was idyllic. It was like a Norman Rockwell painting that you could just jump inside. The Loves were a genuinely wholesome family where there were always good times with good people. When I graduated high school, I left Milwaukee to move to Los Angeles, and Anthony and I went our separate ways. It almost felt like a scene from the Wonder Years. We didn't want to leave each other, but we also knew that we had to follow our own passions. Luckily, we always managed to stay in touch. We would catch up on Skype on the weekends and talk about our crazy college lives. Anthony would tell me the latest about his family. He would talk about how Ashley was working her way up the chain at Arby's and following in his footsteps. Anthony never said it out loud, but I could tell that he was super proud of his sister. She was a hard worker, and it was finally paying off. While I was settling into my new life in Los Angeles, Anthony would invite me back home to Milwaukee every year to celebrate the Love family birthday parties. It's important to note something here. The Loves actually chose to spend their birthdays celebrating together as a family, even as Ashley and Anthony moved past their high school years. While some kids might be out partying and trying to go to clubs or trying to avoid spending time with their parents, this family was tight-knit and genuinely loved spending time together. The family always rented this incredible spot right along the lake, where there were beautiful trees and picnic tables. The Loves always found ways to fill this empty space with music and laughter, playing games like horseshoes and hula hooping. And if that wasn't enough to look forward to, Grandma Teresa, Anthony and Ashley's grandma, would come bearing gifts for all the kids, young and old. She had dozens of stuffed animal dogs in a big sack that she passed out to everyone while she blasted Elvis Presley's Hound Dog and walked around shaking her hips. You couldn't help but laugh. This became an iconic memory from every Love get-together. This birthday party was particularly special because Anthony was starting to have some crushes on girls. Ashley was coming out of her shell too, as she had just graduated from high school. But just the same as any other year, we all found ourselves singing countless karaoke songs and playing games into the wee hours of the morning. That party would be the last time I would see Ashley Love.
A 19-year-old Milwaukee woman. She was shot to death in her home Tuesday morning.
Viciously murdered.
Not only was Ashley Love killed inside of her own home, she was in her own bed.
The murder happened nearly 2 months ago.
1 year after their daughter's death.
It's been more than a year since a Milwaukee teenager was shot and killed in her bedroom.
On October 6, 2009, an intruder broke into the Love family home, walked upstairs to Ashley's bedroom, and shot 19-year-old Ashley Love in the face with a shotgun. It's been over 12 years, and to date, the killer has not been caught. No suspects are in custody, and the case has been registered as an official cold case with the Milwaukee Police Department since 2014. How does a crime this violent and this personal remain unsolved for over a decade? Are there really no clues? No leads? Unfortunately, cases go unsolved every day in America, even high-profile ones with far more coverage and reach than Ashley's. Like the Black Dahlia, who left the body of a mysterious woman laying in broad daylight of a neighborhood street. Or the Zodiac Killer, who taunted the officers hunting him with cryptic notes. But Ashley's murder seems different. Being shot point-blank in the face feels like such a personal attack. I have constantly puzzled over the whos and whys of that terrible night since 2009. Like so many others, I love a true crime podcast. Some of them have led to real progress in the case at hand, real convictions, real killers being pulled off the street once and for all. Over the past few years, every time I would listen to one of these shows, the idea would stick with me in the back of my head. How could I not try the same for Ashley? I'm a filmmaker by trade. Telling stories is something that I am truly passionate about. I've had a wonderful career in the industry, with my most recent documentary even winning an Emmy Award. But true crime podcasts, or really any podcasts at all, they're a whole new frontier. I've wondered if I could really tackle something like this that hits so close to home. There are days where I've almost talked myself out of it. And then there are days where I come back to one key point. Ashley deserves having her story told. I decided to embark on this journey with the hopes of sharing this one family story and seeking justice, in whatever form that means, not just for Ashley, but for her family and friends. So with a voice recorder and a tattered notepad in hand, I began reaching out to the Love family for their thoughts on this project. My first conversation was with my best friend, Anthony.
It's important for people to hear about it, so hopefully we can find justice and solve the case. Justice means a lot to me and my family. The people that did this deserve to rot in jail.
Anthony's wife, Terry, gave her seal of approval.
Let me tell you something, Kyle Olson. If anyone will solve this case, it is you.
You sure do have a lot of faith in me.
But I think it's really great. Put the story out there. Let people know. I mean, there's a lot of cold cases out there, too. Maybe they can find encouragement from something that you're doing.
With approval from Anthony, I started talking to Anthony's grandma, who was like a second grandma to me. She still sends me a card and an Elvis Presley check for $25 every single Christmas. It is the sweetest thing. Her approval on this project means a lot.
We just feel so happy that somebody would do something like this. Because if I had enough money, I would have gotten a private investigator a long time, but I don't have that kind of money. I'm just hoping that during my lifetime that this will be solved. No matter what happens, as long as I'm still here and that I can see justice. That's all I want is justice for Ashley.
Yeah.
And I'm not getting any younger, so hopefully it's going to happen soon.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that there are quite a few people that know more than what they're saying, but maybe the right questions haven't been asked of these people. And if sometimes just one, the way you word a sentence, just one word in that sentence can make a big difference if they're going to tell you something or they're not. And I feel that there's quite a few people that you could have worked with or that were her so-called friends that know something. I would hope that there is somebody who does finally open their mouth so that we can get this case solved. I mean, it's not going to bring Ashley back, but it'll put the people who did this in the prison where they belong. They don't belong walking the streets because you never know who they're going to do something to next.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kyle, because without you, we wouldn't even have this at all. Your friendship with Anthony has meant a lot over the years. And we've just grown to love you, too. It's just been nice knowing you. And when, you know, everybody in the family knows Kyle, you know, even though you haven't met everybody. But, you know, when we say Kyle, they automatically, oh, Anthony's friend, you know, so it's kind of cool.
I am so touched that so many people in the Love family are encouraging me to give this a go. It's time now to call Anthony's mom, Tammy, and officially kick this off.
Hello.
Hey, Tammy. How's it going?
You know, good days, bad days, but I'm still here.
It's never easy, is it?
No. It's not like it ever goes away. It never will. It's always there.
Yeah. Now, I know we've been talking and we've been texting a lot, and now is the point where after all the talk and after all the kind of hype of things, it's finally happening. Like, we're here. We're doing the podcast. We're getting together. We're having conversations that we're recording. We're talking to Ashley's family and friends. And so I guess as we kind of start this journey, I wanted to pick your brain and see what your thoughts are on all this. What are you feeling? What's going on in your head?
Oh, God. First of all, Kyle, I want to tell you thank you for always remembering that. That means so much to myself and my whole family. I mean, it just feels so unreal at times. I shouldn't say at times, like almost all the time. It's like, I still feel like I'm living in a movie. Like, this isn't really happening. But for people like you who never forget and always are there to support me, thank you so much. I have to say that to begin with. And after talking to you, you know, through all these years, it's overwhelming. It has to be done. There are days I'm scared to death, like, of everything. And then there's days like I have to do this because I have no other option. What other options do we have? I mean, this is not easy for me to do this. I draw the strength from people around me, from you, from everybody that supports Ashley, that loves her. And there are a lot of people that do. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that so much. It helps me go on. And it's overwhelming. It's terrifying. And the most people that see me, they think, oh, you know, she's doing pretty good. They have no clue what goes on inside a person's head, a person's body, and what it takes every day to fight against. It's evil. It's evil in so many ways. And it affects all of us to this day, and it always will. And with these people, these animals that did this to Ashley still on the loose, not knowing who they are, that just makes it worse. It's been so many years. It's time that they get caught and face the consequences. And I believe that by putting this podcast out and having people hear it, somebody might remember something. This podcast is one of the last things I can think of to try to draw people in to find out something so that we can get these people caught that took her life. She deserves justice because Ashley never wanted to die. She had so much to give this world.
Yeah, you know, I agree. This is a great way to get the word out and to tell Ashley's story to everyone. You know, one of the things that I think is most important to me is that I want people to know who Ashley is. And throughout this podcast, we're going to be talking to a lot of people to have them share who they thought Ashley was. But I think as we're getting this journey started, it would be best to start with you, since you are, after all, Ashley's mother. So can you tell us, in your own words, a little bit about Ashley?
I hate talking about the night that these monsters broke into our house and took Ashley's life, but I love talking about Ashley. It keeps her here with me. It keeps her alive around us still. When I think about Ashley, the thing that comes to mind first is happy. She just loved life. To know her was to love her. Happy, loving, respectful, and loyal. She could bring out the goodness in a person. She would make other people happier. Every single person says she had the most beautiful smile. And Ashley was very smart. She was shy until you got to know her. Type of girl, real quiet. And then her real insights came out, her personality. She was so sweet and kind-hearted. She loved her brothers. She was the girl next door. I mean, ever since she was a little girl, not a care in the world. She just loved life, loved her friends, loved her family. We would go everywhere together. I mean, take vacations, go to the store. I mean, I would drive her to work. We worked together too. She loved working. She loved working. She loved playing croquet, bowling, listening to music. She was a good person. This podcast, it's ultimately to find justice for Ashley because she deserves justice. Everybody does. And in doing so, we're sharing so many people's stories. I believe it's helping some people get the healing they need. So this is her story. I totally believe that. I really do. Yes, this is for Ashley. This is one of the last thing on this earth we all can do for her.
I love that. What do you think a challenge may be as we kind of get this podcast going?
In this podcast, we have no room for haters to come in. People that do not know the whole story, that think they know, they have no clue what's going on. There are so many people out there that don't know what really happened. I've seen so many people posting things like that they claim happened and that never did. We want positivity. We want people that can bring in and say stuff that will help, not hinder this investigation.
What Tammy is referring to here is a story that was released in the national press about Ashley Love. Since the story's release, there's been a lot of backlash against the family online. Some of these comments on the internet are downright brutal. Here's a few of them.
Does anybody else here think the parents seem guilty? Was this a cover-up? Why isn't the dad crying or showing any emotion? What's his problem? If the parents loved her more, they might try and actually solve this case. Something seems fishy here.
After the horrific murder of their only daughter in their family home, the Loves suddenly had to deal with the fact that some people were pointing the finger at them. Sometimes, I can't help but think that those who comment on these stories forget that there are people on the other side of the screen. Real people. Real grieving families who are seeing these awful comments. And it's just one more layer of heartache that they have to deal with. It's tough. And it's not fair.
It's hard to say because it hurts me to hear certain things. People are rude and crude, and they could say some pretty horrid things. They don't know us. They don't know how our family was. And they could say whatever they want to say, hiding behind the computer. I've learned patience, lots of patience. It's hard for me. It's very hard. Very hard.
It's especially hard because this family has had to relive this horrible night so many times. I think that this is something that most people don't think about unless you're directly involved. After a tragic incident happens, 911 is called and the police come out and they start asking a lot of questions. And then the detectives come, and they have even more questions. And this continues on and on. As a result, the Love family, within hours of tragedy arriving at their doorstep, had to start reliving and retelling this horror again and again before they could even process what happened themselves. Joe and Tammy vividly remember being interrogated.
Well, first of all, they separated us all into separate rooms. Alex, 11 years old, in the one room, because they're obviously questioning us all separately. But then after they had questioned us all, I was like, well, can't Alex come in here? He's only 11. So they let him come and sit by me in the house. Basically, we sat in the living room, me and him. Anthony's in a separate room by himself. And then that's when they said, oh, we're going to bring the body down. And so they moved me and Alex into the room that Anthony was in, shut the door.
Are you thrown into this stuff? Like, I mean, I had the detective tell me, he's like, the stuff that we're going to ask, I'd be pissed off about. But we have to ask. I had no clue. I went into it with no clue. And by the time I was out of there, I swear they would know when my babies were conceived. Like, that's how they went into everything and anything. But you know what? If it could help, you know, I'm like, I'm already torn apart. What's a little bit more going to do? You know, it's like, but yeah, I remember that. So it just shows you everybody needs something different.
The family talked to the police dozens of times in the hours, days, and weeks following Ashley's murder. On the night of the murder, within minutes of the events unfolding in their house, the entire Love family was separated, with all members being put into different rooms of the house so they could be interrogated. Later, the family was polygraphed by the Milwaukee Police Department. In 2009, nobody in the Love family had ever owned a firearm of any sort. There were no records of guns on property or records of anybody in the family ever buying guns. The family passed the polygraph tests. The Love family, which includes Tammy, Joe, Anthony, and Alex, all went through intense, thorough investigations and were completely cleared by the Milwaukee Police Department. This is important. Let me say this one more time. Tammy, Joe, Anthony, and Alex were all cleared by the Milwaukee Police Department. Despite all of this, people continue to talk. The media works on ratings. What's the most sensationalized version of a story that they can put out, getting viewers to tune in to hear more? Reporters sometimes even turn on the victims for shock value. A hidden boyfriend here, a little scandal there. These headlines become productions of drama, played for the benefit of ratings, but sometimes carrying very little truth behind them.
Do I trust the media? Oh, Kyle, I don't know how to answer this. This is kind of hard. No. I have to say no. I've seen too much. I really have. I mean, there are certain reporters that I feel are good, that I do trust. But for the majority, No. First off, when I talk to him, I'm literally sick to my stomach. Mm-hmm. I never know what they're going to say. I never do. Because mm-hmm. they can say whatever they want to say. Mm-hmm. In the beginning of this, when we had a memorial service at Pius High School, the only thing they asked is that no reporters or cameras were allowed in the chapel. Well, one of the stations went to all of Ashley's friends to sneak a camera in there. So stuff like that makes me not trust them. The media can crop and tape certain things together to make it like I said something I never said. Over the course of the years, I would watch certain things and I'm like, I never said that. I'm like, where'd they get that from? I never said certain things. And I'm like, all of a sudden it's out there. Well, the mother says this. And I'm like, no, I didn't. I never said that.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know they can twist the words around. And they do. They do.
Tammy is hitting on one of my biggest pet peeves with this entire case. The Love family hasn't been able to get the full story out there. They are subject to primetime ratings-grabbing media antics and have no control over how the media ultimately puts the story out there. I'm not the only one that's upset about this. Just listen to Ashley's grandma.
Yeah, it really, really ticks me off. They had their mind made up that it was a girlfriend-boyfriend thing, and I think that really hindered the case. And it just frustrates me a lot.
For years, the media has been running with the headline-grabbing story that Ashley had a secret friend, maybe a boyfriend, who turned on her. Is it helpful or hurtful to put this out as the only narrative for all to hear? What if the secret friend narrative is wrong? What if the reason justice hasn't come yet is because we've ignored all of the other possibilities? If you are someone like Tammy, you can't help but have a love-hate relationship with the media. On one hand, you need the media to get your story out there so that you can reach more people and expand your search for justice. On the other hand, the media is notorious for not always getting their facts straight or only showing one sensationalized part of the story.
They do play a purpose, and I do appreciate all that they do for me when they do Ashley's stories. They've helped me keep Ashley's story out there where people didn't even know about it, and they've got it back out there and got people talking. They help get people talking, which is needed, because that way people will hear it. It'll reach more people.
Yeah.
So when we're out in front of the camera and the media, my boys might not be as vocal. You'll see them sitting there, and then they'll be thinking, oh, why aren't they doing what I'm doing, like being vocal? And oh, I've learned over the years, every single person grieves differently. They do different things to try to get through their grief. And it's taken a toll in many ways that the media and outside world doesn't see, because it's kept in the inside a lot. And it's not wrong. It's not right. There's no wrong way or right way to grieve, I believe, because everybody has to do it in their own way. And everybody does. I've seen so many people grieving in different ways. I mean, it would have been so easy when this happened, just to lose it. Lose yourself in drugs and alcohol. I understand now why some people do if they don't have the support that we had. I get it. I've gone to therapy for many years and met many people that they didn't have the resources to get help. And that's what happened to them. And I've seen people that they haven't cried. Their child was killed 20 years ago and they have yet to cry. Doesn't mean they don't care. Doesn't mean that it hurts somebody less. It doesn't. Years ago, I might have thought the same thing, seeing somebody on TV, like, oh, why? They're not even crying. Now it's like, I go on there and even for myself, I have to get myself to a certain point before I do an interview to make it through it. I block things off. I have to. And it's later on, it might be a week, it might be a month, it hits me. It hits me bad. I don't like other people to see that because I don't want to make them feel sad.
And this is exactly why I wanted to embark on making a podcast. I wanted to share the full story instead of just a quick 2-minute headline-grabbing news story once a year. Ashley's story deserves to be told in its entirety, not just for her, but for her family and for those that she touched while she was living. I will be using my access to Ashley's immediate family and close friends to help set the record straight. We will find out what all of the theories are. I will leave no stone unturned as we search for answers.
The boys keep quiet about this after all these years because it's how they grieve. It's so painful to them still. It's so real that it goes inside, and it's so hurtful that it's hard to acknowledge it almost because they're still dealing with it. I mean, we all are. I found other outlets to deal with it, and this is how they deal with it. My kids have always been quiet. They've always been more introverted, like not loud, like not outgoing, to go up to a stranger, to go talk in front of anybody. That's not their scene. They've never been like that ever since, you know, before this happened to Ashley. Now, they come to our house, it's a different story because we're family and we, you know each other, and it's totally different. But you got to get to know them first. Some things are private to them.
I think a lot of people are like that, quiet at first until you get to know them. Anthony definitely falls into this category, and so does Joe, Anthony's father. I've known Joe for years, and I know that he can be a bit quiet and reserved. But if you were to ask me what is the first thing that comes to mind when I think of Joe, it's his singing. So Tammy, tell us about you and Joe.
Joe and I have been married for over 30 years. We met at work. A year and a half later, got married. People are like, you met at work? I'm like, yeah, that's where it all began, at Arby's. Joe's quiet. He's a quiet guy until you get to know him. Kind of like Ashley was. She's quiet until you get to know her. A lot of people did not see how deeply this affected Joe because they didn't see him on the inside. What I saw, I was more vocal. He's more quiet. And that's how it is. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't affect him as much, because it does. It did. And it still does. To this day, it always will. No two people react the same to a situation like this. Everybody reacts mm-hmm. differently. I've seen that. I believe the statistics are like 82% of couples that face what we faced divorce. And you either draw closer or you go apart, and we drew closer. Our bond got stronger. That's a blessing from God right there. It's a testimony to our love.
One of the things that helped draw Tammy and Joe closer together was their passion for bringing their daughter's killer to justice. Through the years, Tammy and Joe have had many sleepless nights running through theories on what they thought happened that night. Joe explains.
We got closer because just investigating together, basically. She'd be on Facebook and she'd say, you know, this or that. And I'd go on and I would say, you know, like working together, trying to figure out the puzzle and get the case solved.
I was like obsessed with finding who did this. I was obsessed, like literally in my own, putting myself in situations that I shouldn't put myself in. Anthony more or less threw himself into school. He threw himself into college. But Alex was there listening to everything and anything we would talk about. We would be driving in the car and I'd be like, oh my God. What did that person next door there? What if he's the killer? And Alex would be like, Mom, be quiet. I mean, he'd start yelling at me, like, be quiet. Let's not talk about this. We can't talk about this anymore. I mean, and then I had to put myself in the check. I could see when it would get too much for him, and I had to put a stop to him. When he was younger, like he would say to me, oh, are we safe? I'm like, how do I answer that? I thought we were safe in our locked house in the middle of the night sleeping. This is a deep cut. I mean, very deep to both the boys. And Alex was 11 when this happened. It totally changed the person he is today. I've had several mothers that have been in this situation. I had one in particular talk to me and said, you know, you got to be there. You got to make sure you're there for the ones that are still alive. Because they were in a position where they were one that was still alive and the sibling had died. And they went through a lot where they didn't think the parents loved them. They thought, oh, you know, they wish it was me, you know, stuff like that.
That has to be remarkably hard. It's trying to find a balance between finding justice for your daughter who was taken from this earth while also trying to be a mother for your two sons who are still here.
I often say that I'm between heaven and earth. Like, it's the hardest thing. I'm torn between both of them. Because back when this first happened, I really had it in my head. Oh, Joe will be here with the boys. I'm going to go be with Ashley because she's alone. She can't be alone up there. I mean, I had it in my head. I mean, this was like fiercely until I looked into my boys' eyes. And I'm like, I can't put any more pain on them. I saw what they've gone through. This is devastating enough. If I would have like gone, I couldn't put them through what somebody just put us through. Because I felt that's what I would be doing if I would leave. I had to be there for my kids. I think they understand what fuels me because I've told them over the years. I said, you know, if this was you, I'd be doing the exact same thing. I'd be fighting just as hard because it needs to be done.
Tammy isn't the only one who understands what it's like to be caught up in between heaven and earth. In a sad coincidence, Tammy's son, Anthony, married a woman who knows all too well what it's like to lose a child. Terry is Anthony's wife and lost one of her children at a young age, too. When Anthony and Terry first met, it was something they both talked about and something that brought them closer together.
I think it's an interesting dynamic because as a mother, when you lose a child, it's a little bit different because that child is a part of who you are. And it was interesting, just about a week ago, Tammy asked to go and see where my son is laid to rest. And it's just a bonding experience between two women who have lost a child. It's just a different dynamic. I guess it might be a little bit easier talking with her about the death of a child than it is maybe talking to your spouse because, you know, and even with Anthony, it's harder because he doesn't open up. It's really hard for him to talk about it. I've tried several times to just start up a conversation and it's usually a one-liner on my end and we move to the next topic. He was told that crying does not show strength. So I do believe that he kind of lives by that crying is not characteristic of strength. I think it's definitely hard on him.
As long as I've known Anthony, he's been a man of few words, sometimes to a comical fault. Terry describes this best when talking about how she first met Anthony.
Anthony had no idea that I liked him. I kept asking him to go to dinner to do stuff, and he'd be like, yes, we can go to dinner. Okay, Anthony, that means like a date. He didn't get it. I think he finally realized it on the day of our wedding.
Anthony's blushing over there.
You are super awesome and a genius, and I love you.
Those 11 words were the few words Anthony used during his vows to Terry on his own wedding day. The ceremony was held in the middle of a beautiful park in northern Wisconsin. Hummingbirds danced through the warm summer air. Dozens of Milwaukee-made Harley-Davidson motorcycles filled the parking lot. And yes, for those of you wondering, they did have Arby's cater the wedding. They also had an extremely touching tribute to Ashley Love in the middle of their service.
Ashley, you held the key. There was taken away from me. Oh, I wrote you this song.
I think it was important first because I never had a chance to now have a sister, and I could have, and she would have definitely been, if she was with us, she would have been my maid, matron of honor. I believe that she's a really strong backbone to this family, and I believe that they loved her more than anything, and what better way to give her a wonderful memorial than to have her a part of the wedding. I think it's really hard not to know Ashley in person, because I think about what happens if we would have been the closest of friends. You know, I could call her up or she would come out and hang out at her house and would be the sister that never left or never leaves for a month. I mean, that would be so cool. You know, growing up as an only child, I miss out on having any siblings, and especially having a female sibling. I mean, someone that knows what we go through as women. I feel kind of selfish in saying this, but I think I missed out on something. My son missed out on having an aunt, and now we only live by her memory because we didn't have a pleasure of meeting her. Her memory is very important because not only do we get to hear about how wonderful that she is, we also get to have that imagery of, it's not just about words, it's about seeing and feeling it in your heart and in your head. So I don't think it's just about what people talk about, you know, what she did, but it's just the whole memory of what a wonderful person she is. I say is because I really do think that she's still here in our hearts.
Although the Love family has lost out on precious family memories and dealt with unimaginable tragedy, they have not lost hope.
Everybody's like, once this case gets solved, I've had people, many people tell me, do you ever think that, oh, they're not going to catch who killed Ashley? And I'm like, I can't go there. I said, do I think it's going to be tomorrow? No. The next day? Probably not. But it's gonna be done. It's a matter of time. And I need that peace. We all need that peace for her. So that these people that did this to her, number one, don't do it again. And number two, I want their names known to everybody. There's never going to be enough punishment for these people that took my daughter away from me. But knowing that they're facing the consequences of what they did and are being punished, that's something I can do for Ashley. I feel it has to be done. And I can't lose hope, because losing hope will take all that away. I've never lost hope that this case will be solved, because it will be solved. But I've kind of lost the hope that the Milwaukee Police Department are going to be the ones to solve it. If you would have asked me that, I would say maybe even a year or two ago, I would have said, no, I have hope in them. But now I have to say, with all the cuts going on, what's going on in this world, I don't think they're going to solve it. I don't have that hope that the Milwaukee Police Department's going to solve it. I think an outsider is going to come in and solve it. Regardless, whoever solves it, solves it. I'm just glad. But I think they simply lack the resources now to do it. And you're going to need a lot of resources to go back in time, because it's been over 10 years and you're going to have to re-go over things in order to dot your I's and cross your T's.
Tammy has never lost faith that her daughter's case would be solved. But she is starting to lose faith in the Milwaukee Police Department solving it. And when you hear some of the statistics, it doesn't look good. We'll get into that in a later episode.
Every day, you know, you listen on the radio, you turn on the news, and the numbers, the resources of the Milwaukee Police Department are going down. They've got no funding. They're cutting this. They're cutting that. And it just leads me to think, you know, the Milwaukee Police Department, they can't do this. They can't solve this murder on their own. I can't do it on my own. We need to come together and all do it together. And there's nothing wrong with asking for help from people, from each other.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I know Ashley's case is not the Milwaukee Police Department's only case, but she's my only case. She's mine.
For years, Tammy has been looking for a helping hand. There are millions of other people around America who feel just like her, who have their own Ashley to grieve. And the statistics are very scary. So it begs the question, what are the odds of this getting solved? If primetime television and blockbuster mysteries were to be believed, suspects need to be in custody within the first 48 hours, or all hope is lost. But actually, statistics show us that typically the first few weeks are the most important in making an arrest in a homicide. After that, the odds that an arrest will be made start to rapidly decrease. For unsolved cases lasting over a year, finding the killer becomes an incredible challenge. For unsolved cases lasting over a decade, it becomes nearly impossible. Some of you might be asking, why do this? Why bother trying to get answers on a 13-year-old cold case when it seems like even mathematically everything is against you? Well, the answer is simple. I'm doing this for the Love family. I'm doing it for the second family who surprised me with Arby's shakes at midnight, for the girl whose dance moves filled the dance floor while Joe sang loud and proud to Garth Brooks medleys, for the family who has toppled me over with laughter every single time I went to one of their parties. This is for them.
Love never dies. Never. That's why the ones who did this to Ashley, they can think all they want that they took her from all of us, but that love never dies. She's around in different ways. There's love all around. I mean, I wanted to just run and hide and, you know, and just fall off the face of the earth. People wouldn't let me. They wouldn't. They would not let me. They got me back out, and by the grace of God and that love, that got me here still. No, love never dies. Never. My love for Ashley is just as much as it was when she was here as it's up there. People are like, oh, you know, she was an angel. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. We're, you know, we're pure human. But she was perfect to us. Yeah, I believe she is an angel up in heaven now. You know, yes. And that love is there. And she's around us. She shows us that she's around us in different ways. Just when I feel down or I think, oh, God, she, you know, I'm never going to see her again. This something will happen. Somebody will come in or somebody will call or get a message or I'll find a dime. And I'm like, okay, you're here. Ash, you're here. It's in words. It's in hugs. It's in whispers. It's in support. There are people that just throw that out there. Oh, I love you. I love you. It's an easy word to say. It really is. It's motivating.
Tammy is right. Love is motivating. But I also think Tammy is one of the most motivated people that I have ever met. She's determined, and she's taking a leap of faith with her son's best friend to try and find justice in this case.
The ultimate reason we do any of this is for Ashley. We look to Ashley and what these people did to her. It's painful. I'm like, people don't know us, but I've come to the realization I have to put myself back out there if that's what it takes to bring her killers to justice. They need to face what they did to her and have a life sentence like we have a life sentence every day.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, every time we talk, it's like it takes a lot out of me, put it that way.
Yeah.
But I just feel it has to be done because it's 10 years. And if this can bring forward something, anybody, I'm woman enough that I can take it. That's the way I look at it. Nothing that is worth it. It's going to be so easy. It's kind of overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah.
But it needs to be done.
It is overwhelming. Searching for justice is a constant struggle. I can't even begin to imagine what the experience of reliving that horrible night and the aftermath has been like for Tammy. There are a lot of potential theories in this case. And throughout this podcast, we are going to go through them all. We will be talking to Ashley's friends, family, and coworkers to hear their own personal theories. If there's one thing I've learned already, it's that investigating a cold case is a lot harder than it seems. It's cold for a reason. While I've been studying this case and going down rabbit holes late into the night, I've had my own doubts and second-guessed everything. But something Anthony once told me sticks in the back of my mind and helps motivate me when I get overwhelmed.
Life may get you down, but you always got to move forward. You can just make a better future for yourself if you keep focusing on the future.
While we will hear many different ideas on how or why Ashley's murder happened, many of them are difficult to investigate deeply because certain leads will bring you straight into a brick wall. That doesn't mean the theory isn't valid. It merely means we can't go any further. I want to share everything with you in the hopes that you, the listener, can help. Perhaps somebody can help corroborate one of these theories even more and put us down the right path. Some of the names that you will hear in this podcast have been changed. That is to protect the people telling the stories, as well as myself. It was a difficult decision for me to make. Having the real names might help a listener who knows something to come forward with information that could help the case. But just as I will criticize the news media for the backlash the Love family still faces to this day, I do not want to cast any unfair guilt on potentially innocent people. But if you are listening to these stories and you knew Ashley, are from the same area, or heard anything whispered about this case, then it's time for you to come forward. We have a few pieces to this puzzle, and the full picture is starting to come together. But the reason this case hasn't been solved yet is because we still have some empty spaces. Please help the Love family bring this killer to justice. If you know something, it's time to say something. Thank you. Hello, Noelle.
Hi, Kyle. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so glad you called. How's it going? What's going on?
Okay. I cannot stop thinking about our podcast. I can't stop thinking about Ashley and the case. And today it hit me. We need an expert.
I could not agree more. I think this has been one of my biggest dreams since we started talking about this podcast.
Agree. But we are in luck. My wheels have been turning. I know a guy. I know the guy. He has over 40 years of law enforcement experience, detective experience, homicide experience.
Wow.
Specializes in cold case. Uh-huh. And he's willing to do it pro bono.
Really? Love and Justice is an official podcast of Magic Lamp Productions and is recorded all over the United States of America. This episode was executive produced, directed, and hosted by me, Kyle Olson. Co-executive producer, Noel Kane. Segment producer, Jessica Solomon. Producer, Maddie Rose. Associate producer, Miranda Schmidt. Edited by Cody Crabb. Production assistant, Natalie Izquierdo. Very special thanks to Tammy, Joe, Anthony, and Alex Love. Additional special thanks to Teresa Brockman, Terry Love, and Third Wheel Podcast Studio, Los Angeles. Episodes of Love and Justice feature news clips from WYSN 12 News, Fox 6 News Milwaukee, CBS 58 News, TMJ 4 News, and City Channel 25. The song, Dear Ashley, was written and produced by Charlie Seitz, Jamie Thine, and Kyle Olson. All rights reserved. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and rate it 5 stars. Every single review greatly helps our exposure and increases the odds that more people will listen, which will help get this case solved. So please, rate this podcast and share it with your friends today. It only takes a quick minute. Somebody knows something. Maybe not everything, but something. Chances are that somebody is in Milwaukee right now. It could be you. There is a cash reward of $5,000 for information provided that leads to the conviction of Ashley Love's killer or killers. Thanks for your support, and thanks for listening.